It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan along with my friend, Captain Mike Ward. Hey.
Hey, Sean, how you doing? Labor Day weekend.
Can
you believe it?
Usually I'd say it's aptly named Labor Day weekend because people will be laboring at their hunting camps, you know, with that extra day. But where the rain pattern's gone, people might not be.
No.
Yeah, might be waiting on that.
I'm ready to go up there, too, but I'm wasting my time if I try to go up there right now.
Hey, coming up later in the show, we're going to talk about hunting number one. Like we said last week, all your license renewal things had to happen here as you're on the new license year in Alabama. Also, they have opened up the SOA, the Special Opportunity Area hunts for the state, the registration for those. I will talk about that more coming up with Chuck Sykes later on in the show. And we're going to get our friend Blakely Ellis back on from CCA Alabama to talk about this story. I'm going to let him say it because if I say the word I wanted to say, then in Alabama you can't have one. Executive Director of CCA Alabama, Blakely Ellis, joins us now with a chance to win a boat, motor, and trailer. Is that, can I say chance to win, Blakely?
Yes, you can. That's correct. And I appreciate you allowing me to handle the verbiage on that.
Yeah, that's right, because certain terms we will not use. But let's go back for a second, Ed. You joined us when this started. We got an update, Rodeo Weekend from you, the Star Tournament, and it's something that you've pointed out that folks in Texas are familiar with in Louisiana, but kind of a new product in Alabama.
Yeah. Yep. Sure is. And so the way the tournament works is. It incorporates our fish tagging and research and stuff like that. But essentially, at the beginning of the summer, before the tournament started, we tagged and released 30 slot redfish in Alabama waters. And so, you know, they're split pretty well down the middle. So about half were on, the Baldwin County side, and then the other half were on the Mobile side of the bay. And you enter the tournament for $75, and it runs until Labor Day Monday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when the tournament ends. And during that time, if you're registered in the tournament, which part of that registration is the CCA membership, that's kind of the two boxes you have to check. But the $75 covers both the entry fee and the membership. And so if you catch one of those fish during the tournament, then you win a 2022 Nautic Star 21-foot bay boat with a 150 Yamaha and a trailer package that's worth over $65,000. And so it's a pretty good investment.
Okay. That's a great deal for $35.
So I want to talk about this. Right? Let's get serious about this here. All right. So, because I don't know tomorrow, Monday, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go fishing. And therefore, if I don't go fishing, I have zero chance of catching the tagged redfish. Somebody's fishing does. What happens if I get registered here and I don't get to go fishing and nobody catches that tag that's in the tournament catches that tagged redfish? What happens?
Well, so what happens next? So we really don't have a choice but to go back to that pool of people who registered into the tournament, and we'll give it away to one of them. So, we're not going to keep the boat for anything else. So it's going to be given away to somebody. If it's not given away via the tournament, while it's going on, by catching the redfish and all that, then we don't have a choice but to give it away to one of the people who registered. That way, everybody has a fair shot at it. So, essentially, at 5 o'clock on Monday afternoon, that'll be the cutoff where you can't register for the tournament anymore. But up until that point. Anybody that's in that mix that's, 18 or older is in the mix for that boat.
You hear that, Mike?
You're bringing I'm listening.
Yeah.
I think I catch on to what's going on.
It's Blakely, you've told us this from the beginning of it, is you have to be in the Star Tournament, you have to be registered, and then if you catch one of the tagged redfish, you would win the boat. We haven't had that happen, but there have been people – catch a tagged redfish, right, that aren't in the tournament.
Yes.
People that could have been winners.
Two caught.
two people that could have won the first, you know, first of them could have won the $65,000 boat package that weren't in.
Yep.
Ouch. Right. I just want to say, I don't want to pick on people.
$35
Ouch.
Ticket.
Yep. Ouch. That hurts.
Wait, it's
$75. $75. Yeah. Get it.
$75.
That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts. If you, you're, so they called you. They, because Blakely knew because they called him because he got his number on there. And you got to be the bearer of, my gosh, that must have been tough news. Saying, well, see, remember, you had to be in and registered. Oh, my gosh. What a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, yeah, honestly, I thought that when you and I were talking during the radio a couple months ago that there'd be one caught that weekend, but there wasn't. And I thought for sure by now we'd have at least, you know, one or two more caught, but we haven't. So, you know, it's all going to come down to this. And as you said, Mother Nature seems to be influencing this a little bit more than maybe people might like. But, you know, at the end of it all, like I said, the boat's got to go home with somebody. So no better way to do it than picking one of the people who registered in the tournament.
So somebody listening to us right now, even if for some reason you're lined out with things that don't let you go on the water, it behooves you to get signed up. And the nice thing behooves you. And the nice thing is, too, is you're going to be a member of CCA and part of CCA Alabama. That's the thing that, you know, the undercurrent of this whole thing.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
So,
I did, because this is kind of a last-minute registration kind of a thing, I've set up an additional way for people to sign up through our one of the pages that we use for our event ticketing and stuff like that. So you've got three choices to sign up, but the last-minute sign up is going to be on our website, and it's going to take you to the page to purchase that tournament entry. And if you have the Fishing Chaos app, that's another way you can sign up. A lot of people use that to sign up. And then, our website's ccaalabama.org. And then it's, you also have the option of texting the word STAR22 to the number 76278. And that should reply back with a link that will take you directly to that page where you can sign up for the STAR tournament.
Good deal. And, I hope somebody, I do. Well, I hope somebody catches a fish to win it. I'll say it that way. I wanted the bad part of me to come out and say, no, I hope, you know, hope it happens my way. But I hope somebody does catch a redfish to win that. And, Blakely, you'll come on with us and let us know about the winner next week?
Yeah. We're not going to if we have a winner before the tournament ends, then I will. But the actual boat, the boat giveaway, that'll happen in a couple weeks afterwards. But I'll definitely keep you posted on it.
Good deal.
We appreciate it.
Blakely Ellis joining us, and we'll talk again soon. Get back out and go fishing.
I'm going to do it. I will.
There he goes. All right. Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Chuck Sykes joins us next. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you all along. And yeah, if you're kind of trying to decipher what we were talking about with Blakely Ellis from CCA. So if no one catches one of those tagged redfish today, tomorrow, or Monday.
Sunday or Monday.
That's
right. You're
today,
right.
Today, tomorrow, or Monday.
Yeah.
If they don't catch one of those tagged redfish, then those people that put in for the STAR Tournament through CCA, there will be a chance to win. I can go on my high horse here about the words you can't use in our state, even though there's a chance to win in this thing.
No matter what, there's a chance to win.
If you're registered in the STAR tournament, even if you can't go fishing, if one is not caught, then they're going to take all the people that entered in the STAR tournament, whether you fished or not, and have a chance to win.
A nice boat.
I thought you were going to say the other word. You can't. There's a chance to win. $65,000 Nautic Star package. So there you go. Maybe I can get this man. I mean, he's high ranking enough. He can say whatever he wants. It's our friend, Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama, Chuck Sykes, joining us. Hey, Chuck.
What's happening, folks?
Just, you know, that other word, there's two words we couldn't say because when we talk about gators, I said I would be putting in for the Gator blank, and I was told I can't use that word either. So, you know, Chuck knows what I'm talking about too. It's like, I'm like, but it's just a word. Yeah. Well, I do want to talk. So much to talk about. First of all, welcome back. Good to talk to you. How's the summer been?
It's been busy. It's been busy, but been good. I'm ready for some cooler weather and looking forward to dove season coming in today and ready to roll. We'll be shooting birds this afternoon.
Now, are you wearing knee boots to do it? Because I got to get the report. Mike and I can tell you how it is down here. How's it been, Choctaw County and back over through Central Alabama? Are y'all wet?
Yeah, Choctaw County is flooded. We got 7.5 inches last week. We had loggers in on the property doing a first thin, and it ran them out. I hope I can get them back before we get into the really rainy season, but up here around Montgomery, where we're going to be shooting, it's pretty good.
Because it's the rest of that water that didn't fall in Choctaw County is falling in Mobile County and Baldwin.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, we had one day down here 9 inches in South Mobile County.
It's what do you and there's so much I want to talk to you about. You know, as a director for wildlife and freshwater fisheries, but you know, your life as a you know, wildlife manager, biologist out there. But land management side, what do you do? Well, back in the day when you're running big property and you're looking at, I mean, it's September now, Chuck, and that far off till deer season, and you're dealing with conditions like this. What did you do back then? Did you just punt? How'd you make any kind of hay?
Well, you know, you can't control Mother Nature, so you just have to adapt. And when it would get this wet, you know, you've got plans, but you can't do nothing about it, so you go and try to find some things that you can do, like going and checking your tree stands instead of getting fields prepared and that kind of stuff. So there was always plenty to do. It might not have been what you wanted to do at that specific moment in time, but hey, we'll be begging for rain in another month.
That's
so
right.
Ain't no sense in complaining about it now.
Well said. Well said. All right. So now back onto the director hat. Let's talk about it. We've it's the new year. People are like, what are you talking about? But in our world, in licenses and DCNR, it is a new year.
Absolutely. We started pre-sale of licenses on the 22nd and started the regular license sales today. So please, folks, go and don't wait till the last minute to get your licenses.
Yeah.
Get them early. Don't wait.
That's right.
And the online portal, I mean, I use the online portal that's easy and people can do that also. You have your Outdoor Alabama app. You can do it right there, which thank goodness because it saves my CID number. So I need that. But yeah, people got to, they may not think about it until they hear you talk about it. They're like, oh yeah, I mean, they're not going to think of it. I mean, they're just a deer hunter and a rifle hunter. They're not going to think about it until November.
Right. And, you know, every year, without fail, we'll have a bunch of people that all of a sudden today at 12 o'clock, dove season comes in at 11:59. They're like, holy smoke, I got to get a license today.
Yeah.
And it bogs the system down because there's so many people trying to do it. And then my phone starts ringing because we can't get my license. We can't get my license. Like, when did you try it? Well, 2 minutes ago.
That's right.
Well, it's been on sale for a week now. So.
Yeah, and it's a good place to start. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was going to say the best thing and the easiest thing to do, and it's what I've started doing, is just auto-renew.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, I don't have to work.
A year or so ago,
I don't have to worry about it.
People that signed up for auto-renew, and then you don't have to worry about it. There, it's done.
But there is a part of this, though. I'm not trying to be the cog in the wheel, but we're talking about dove season. And, of course, you know me, I'm thinking about teal season, too. If you're hunting migratory birds, you're going to have to do an HIP.
That's right.
You can't auto-renew your HIP that I know of.
No, but if you are on auto-renew, we send you a little reminder through email that says, hey, it's time, your auto-renew is going to kick in next week. Go on and fill out your HIP, and then it'll auto-renew, no problem.
See there? So, easy. Auto-renew is the best way to do it.
I agreed.
All your licenses.
Yep. And if people don't, expect to stand in line.
Or not get them.
It just notoriously opening day of deer season, dove season, snapper season, there's going to be a glitch in the system. I've been here 10 years and probably 9 years. There's been something that happened. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't be caught and not have a license when you know it's coming. Every year you know it's coming September 1st.
So get those things done. Reminding folks too, just I mentioned the teal part of it too. If you're going to be teal hunting going forward, you know, next weekend, make sure you get, you still have to do HIP, but you, in addition to that, you got to have your state stamp and your federal stamp. And it's that renew thing, the reminder thing for my state stamp is a good thing. I like that through the app.
Yep, and you can get your federal stamp and you can get your state stamp through the Outdoor Alabama website. You don't have to go stand in line at the post office and try to get a stamp and they're out and you got to go to three other post office before you find one. You can get it online.
That's easy.
So easy Mike could do it.
Yeah.
All right. So
I think I could.
Now, I'll give you a transition story here, too, to how you'll – because I want to talk about special opportunity areas again with Chuck. And so I'm filling out my SOA, entries, and it kicked them back out to me from the Outdoor Alabama website the other day. It's because I had not auto-renewed my WMA permit. So can we kind of – we'll talk about that. There's a license purchase that is part of the process if you're going to enter into these SOA draws. Or can we use the word draw? I think we can.
Random selection, randomized computer selection process.
See, yeah, there's all these words we can't say. I would write a column on this. So if we're gonna, if you're gonna do that random itemized selection process for our special opportunity areas in Alabama, you gotta, before you do that, not only have a hunting license, you have to have your WMA permit.
Yeah, and it's mainly the WMA permit that gets you into the system. Because especially for non-residents, we're not requiring them to buy a license just to register. They've got to have that WMA permit to register. Then if they get selected before they can accept their hunt, they have to have their license at that point.
Gotcha.
Is there a lot of non-residents that register for the SOAs?
There are.
Well, yep. I'm kind of surprised on that. Why? I don't know. I just am. I thought that was, more mainly state people. But I didn't realize that non-residents would be that interested in that. But it's a great place to hunt, so I guess so.
Well, you think about it. If you're a non-resident and you want to come hunt a premier piece of property, you can lease it. You can pay an outfitter or a guide to take you. Or for little or nothing, you can apply, get a three-day license, and go on one of these SOAs.
It's
not a bad deal.
No, it makes sense. I just hadn't thought about non-residents doing the SOAs, but it makes great sense, really.
Well, and maybe we need to do a little remedial here, too, because we're going into that. And it's been a year or so probably since we've talked about SOAs. Can you get, like, the overall – and then I want to dig into some other – some changes, some new parts here. But what are the SOAs?
They're special opportunity areas, and they're smaller, basically smaller WMAs that instead of just opening the gates and saying, y'all have at it, we broke those properties down into 300 to 500 acre hunt units. And you can go online, you've applied. If you get selected, you can take one person with you, and you are assigned one of those units. And nobody else can hunt there but you for the duration of that hunt. And we rotate those units where they're not all hunted at the same time, where whoever draws the last hunt of the year has just as good opportunity as whoever draws the first hunt of the year.
And the kind of properties, I always feel like I'm shooting myself in the foot because I'm, actively involved in this process trying to, hopefully get to go hunt these places. These are fantastic places. If we're going to name some of them, but ones I grew up watching VHS tapes of hunts going on at this one particular place, another place just down the road from. This is big buck country. For somebody like me coming down from the Southwest Alabama, this is my chance to hunt the Black Belt.
It is, and there's properties scattered all over the state. There's several down in y'all's neck of the woods.
Yeah, I want to get into that. Yeah, the Baldwin County stuff, saw some opportunities there.
Yep, so we're trying to offer, and each year, the first year we had one that offer deer hunts and a couple of turkey hunts. Now I think we have 11 that offer dove hunting, duck hunting, deer, turkeys, squirrels, rabbits, hogs. There's all kind of opportunities out there.
Yeah. So I tell you what, we're going to run the break. We're going to come back more of this conversation because there's some detail, like the director said, to get into some of the new things and new opportunities. I hate having these conversations because every time I do, I feel like I'm making it harder to enter the randomized randomized chance of winning, whatever we call that thing.
Lottery.
You cannot say lottery, Mike Ward. All right, be right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. It's always good to talk to our friend, Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, Chuck Sykes, on this. It's the new year when it comes to the hunting world and licensing world for the state of Alabama, so a lot to talk about there. Your reminder here, you're going to be shooting doves. You got to have that HIP. You got to have that hunting license. And then if you want to get in on these special opportunity areas, you've got to have that WMA permit. So let's do that. We were talking about SOAs, these great places, in the Black Belt that I was focused on. But you're right. I mean, I looked through the Outdoor Alabama page for SOAs or stuff. I am entering, because on the duck side, and we could talk about that too, from the north end of the state to things down here on the south end of the state. Yeah, you got them throughout the area.
Yeah, I mean, we keep adding a few here and there, and we added a couple this year, and we've already got a couple in the queue for next year. We've got a duck place in North Alabama. We've got a dove place that we bought specifically to dove hunt right outside of Montgomery. We're looking at some more next to, big urban areas that we can buy a couple of hundred acres and have a real good dove field. So we're trying to give people as many opportunities to hunt whatever they want as they can.
Yeah, on the dove side, too. Now, I didn't put in for that. I may go back and amend, have some days, but they really look good because I saw, the entry, but then I saw some videos I think Marianna posted up. Prairie Glades or
Yep, Prairie Glades. It is, honestly, it's about 2 minutes from the runway at the Montgomery Airport.
Which is also a good flight path for doves.
City birds.
Yeah. Hey, I like those that just came off a bird feeder.
Yep.
It's different because, most of the thought process for a lot of us when we think about SOAs in the state has been deer and turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you're varying it on that. Also a new addition, and this will be close to geographically and close to our hearts as well. I saw the addition of a place that years ago, I hunted with, and I think it was in February, we'd go in for an archery hunt for hogs, and that's the Choctaw National Wildlife Refuge, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
Talk about that.
Got a real good friend that is a great supporter of the department. He's a regional director for U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service out of Atlanta, Leo Miranda, and we're working with Leo to open up more hunting opportunities on these areas and Choctaw was the first one, so we'll see how it goes, and we may have some more that we can add in.
And that's a primitive weapons hunt, I think, what I entered for Choctaw. I am shooting myself in the foot. Chuck, when was the last time that place was deer hunted?
There's archery hunting on it. There has been, but we're doing things a little different and trying to get folks that they can go with their primitive weapon and do a little better.
Yeah, it's been a long time, many decades since I went on those hog hunts in there. But it, my God, I've looked at that place on satellite so many times. But when I was, it is a beautiful piece of land. I can imagine
if somebody has a boat.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why they can't go up there and kill a good deer every hunt.
You hear that?
Now, why do you have to have a boat?
How Choctaw is?
A lot of it is pretty remote, and it just makes it sort of like the Delta down there. It just makes it easier if you've got a boat and you can drop in and you can put around and get to where you want to go rather than having to walk down some of these little narrow strips and end up spooking a bunch of the gang.
Yeah.
And those fingers off that, there are probably people bringing it up on their Audex or Google Earth or whatever right now. The fingers that go up in there in those backwaters get you a lot of places.
How many acres is this place?
How big is that?
Oh, Mike, don't make me lie. Well, I mean, it's several thousand acres.
Several thousand. Okay, I didn't know whether it's 500 acres or several thousand.
No, it's several thousand.
Okay, yeah, big place.
So, and then you mentioned other ones down in our area. I was looking at Perdido or I don't have it in front of me, but Perdido or Blackwater Basin.
Blackwater.
What's the story on that? So that's going to be a deer hunt, and are we going to do turkey there as well, or what do you? What's the plan?
I think it's just going to be deer this year, and then we'll see. It's a new piece of property, and we've got to get it sort of in shape.
Yeah, what is that process? So for people, go back. We're talking about these SOAs, so these tracts of land that aren't the maybe the big tracts of my youth where y'all, like you said, you unlock the gate and turn us loose, smaller areas where you regulate pressure. But when y'all come into it, I mean, you as a career of, you know, a land manager, wildlife manager, do you go through and you and Keith and the crew, I mean, do you try to make it like you would for a camp? How do you go in there and decide where you're putting stuff? I mean, what's that like?
You know, we're wildlife biologists. We go in, look at a piece of property, and we're looking at what's best for the wildlife and what's best for the hunting opportunities, and we try to design it for the best usage as well as what's best for the wildlife.
Yeah, I mean, the designs on the ones I've been on can tell you have a hunter's hand and a biologist's hand in it. It's not like some, and not be specific, but I mean, some of the big WMAs that I grew up hunting and all that were just like, here's the land, you go, you know, it's just as is, right? And then the SOAs seem, they're more like, you know, hunting camps, real nice hunting camps I've been to before, the way it's kind of laid out.
I'm trying to look for Mike at how big Choctaw
Let's
is.
Let's quit talking about Choctaw.
Units that are at least...
Let's quit talking.
500 acres a piece, so it's several thousand acres.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough to talk about Choctaw right now. Let's
well, some places y'all, the state buys and y'all fix them up, and I guess some places, some people donate the property. Is that what they
do? This is federal property that they're.
Okay.
But these, yes, we own these.
Okay. All the SOAs you own?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know. I didn't know whether.
Except like the National Wildlife Refuge.
Except for Choctaw.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's enough talk about Choctaw. Okay. I'm done with it.
Well, the state don't own Choctaw.
Yeah.
Well,
good. So stop talking. Don't mention that word anymore. Crushing me, you two.
You tell me it's a pretty place.
All right. It's a pretty place. the process also for SOAs, like right now, it's from now through the 12th, and it's I saw the dove hunts in there and the youth dove hunts, but everything else that I was deer right now, right? That goes through the 12th?
Yes. Yep. And then small game, turkey, and duck will come a little bit later.
And this is going to be – it's a habit people, you know, are building here from the first year. It's new, not brand new, but new to a lot of people. You go and talk about SOAs. They haven't listened to Chuck talk about it. They don't know. That they had, you know, the idea that just like you said about buying a license, people wait around to buy a license the day before deer season or something like that. This is something you got to think about in September, what you're doing. And this is most like most other states I've ever seen. This is like how they do it, but maybe it's new to people. I mean, do you see the numbers build, a number of people putting in? What are you seeing?
It's pretty consistent, which is why we're trying to add more and trying to add different opportunities, because we want as many people. I don't want people getting frustrated. You know, I've put in so many years and I haven't gotten drawn. It's rigged. I'm not going to do it anymore. So that we're trying to cut down on that. So we're trying to offer as many opportunities as we can. I mean, just like you, I put in. Mm-hmm. I put in to test the system to see if it's going to work, just like you put in today and got kicked out and was cussing the system until you figured out you had to buy a WMA license.
Right.
So then it was fine. So it was operator error. But I do the same thing. So I put in each year, into a three just to check and make sure it works, and I don't get selected. I would love to go to Portland and go hunting during the rut. You know, I would like to go to Big Pen just south of Montgomery there in Greenville and go hunting. It's close by, and it's a great piece of property, but
I hear Choctaw is the best place.
Enough of you, Ward.
Choctaw is a jam-up place. I know. I used to hunt the line a lot when I was a kid.
I'm tired of both of y'all. I'm tired of that.
Okay, when does the computer make its randomized pick?
I'll let Sean cover that because he's been all through the system.
Yeah, it goes. I mean, I know we entered till the 12th.
And
of then, September, you can enter till the 12th. And so then, after that, you can't enter anymore.
Not for deer, no.
Okay.
Not for deer.
Not for deer.
Not for dove.
Okay.
So then I guess, and I don't know, by the 13th or when y'all kick out the emails to let people.
They'll kick it out that same day.
Okay. So that'll come on the 12th as well. And then, like you said, coming up next, then we'll have duck and small game.
Yep. It'll come on later.
I'm not going to even mention the duck place name, Mike, because you say it's on the other end of the state for me, but I put in for it religiously.
I won't say the name of it either, but it's one of the very few public land places that you have an opportunity at Black Duck.
I have no friends. I thought that Chuck Sykes and Mike Ward were my friends.
Rare around here. That's a good place.
Gosh,
man.
The two of y'all. The two of y'all. I got to get some new friends out there. So on the deer side too, as I deflect from the duck conversation, I look at the pictures. I follow on Facebook the department, Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries on Facebook, from all over the state on public lands. The deer that have been coming out over the last couple of years are jaw dropping. Do you have any kind of stats on like what's coming off the SOAs as well? Great bucks.
I mean we have numbers on all of that. I don't have it where I can just spit it out.
No,
right
I'm
now.
Just saying. I'm not asking for like number. I'm asking for you as a wildlife biologist. Are you taking notice of the kind of deer we're producing on public land?
Absolutely. The first year, and especially I'll just use Portland as an example. My biologist down there, Gilchrist, worked his rear end off, he and his staff, to get it right, and it was about to kill him when they were bringing in, you know, two-year-olds and little three-year-olds, because a lot of people that were hunting there were not used to seeing that many deer, that many bucks, and they were getting excited and they were shooting. And some of the deer were still legal, but it was, oh my goodness, you know, what that deer would have been the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, each year the public is getting more educated on our program and the size restrictions, so they're letting those younger deer pass, and they kill some thumpers last year.
I mean, Mike, I don't know if you watch it, but I mean, it's been something. We're coming right back, more of our conversation with Chuck Sykes, talking about the new year for licenses, SOA registration, and I might pick his brain on what he's seeing in his woods as well when we come back. Back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all along. And it is that perfect time of year because what we'll probably be talking about here, well, next week is the beginning of, knock on wood, some trout and redfish moving towards the Delta. I know I talked to Bobby a little bit about that. Same time, we'll be talking about dove hunts, teal hunts, getting ready for deer season. And we're talking about deer season to come, as well as Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, Chuck Sykes, our guest on this show. And SOAs, we were talking about that as we went to the break, and the opportunity right now from now through the 12th to get registered. You also pointed out, and I saw this when I was registering as well, because I was kind of focused on, you know, the fact that you get to hunt some places where you have a chance at, you know, a buck of a lifetime. But also, if you're looking to fill the freezer and shoot some does, this antlerless hunts, how do they work?
Well, we decided a couple of years ago just to try this because some of those places, the place that you've been watching since you was a kid, is loaded with deer. I mean, loaded with deer. And we need to, you know, we need to take out a bunch every year to keep the herd healthy and habitat good. And a lot of these people, when they come down, they want to kill that buck of a lifetime. So we said, shoot, we'll just have a couple antlerless only hunts that will come in before the regular gun season comes in. We can control it. We can make sure everything's taken care of. So we started doing that. So you get three does on that hunt, so you can go down before your gun season comes in, go shoot your three does, fill your freezer up, and then you can kick back and relax and chill out on your place and hunt for a buck if you want to.
Yep. Yeah. Three does with a rifle before rifle season starts.
So yes. During rifle season and during the regular hunts, the buck hunts, you can't shoot the does?
No, you can, but people they choose not to.
Okay.
Because they're wanting to shoot that buck.
Right. But if you shot a buck the first day, then you could shoot.
Then you could shoot your does.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that's still good. I'm sure there's quite a few people that shoot does during their.
They do.
Yeah.
They do, but we still need it more. You know how it is. Property is hard to, keep your numbers.
You can't hard to get enough of them. You're right.
Right. So, yeah, and it's a, I mean, and I fit in that example. I mean, I wish I, you know, I know what needs to be done, you know, whether it's our place or, you know, all of our places with the SOAs, I'm going to be somebody that is going to be trying to, I mean, I'm now in the black belt and I'm hunting and I'm, you know, I mean, that means a lot. So I'm going to try to keep everything quiet, you know, I'm the definition of that person that probably doesn't come on the SOA hunt and kill the does like I should. I get it. If I killed a buck the first day, sure, I'd do my part and shoot the does, but I probably fit that definition of going,
well,
if I'm in there, in the,
would,
you know,
yeah.
It's a rut and I'm on one of those special places, it's going to be hard for me to do that.
Yeah, I think everybody would. Everybody's wanting to shoot the buck.
That's why we're doing some other things to try to keep those numbers down.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Speaking of numbers, so mm-hmm. as we get ready for the season to come, we've reminded folks about their licenses, although we didn't talk about the bait privilege stamp. Remind folks about that.
Yeah, if you're going to hunt over feed, you've got to have a bait license. The legislature passed that law several years ago now, and it's pretty simple. Go online, just like you're getting your hunting license, and get your baiting license, and then you don't have to worry about you're hunting with your buddy, and you don't know whether Mike's got feed out or not. Well, for $15, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be a thought in your mind. You just go hunt.
If I could only insulate myself from everything else Mike Ward does for $15, if I'd buy whatever stamp that is, I'd buy it.
I want to tell you, might be less people using that stamp this year because I don't know what the price of corn is, but if it's like the price of seed and fertilizer, it might be a lot less corn put out this year. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm going to bet you that it does not check up one bit.
Y'all want to hear my bad? Here's, and I don't know if y'all have agree, disagree. I think the bad part of it is that people will look at their budget. There'll be a lot of people who just bait and don't do food plots. That, you know, the beauty of a food plot is it feeds critters year round to some, or provides some habitat benefit year round to
sure.
them, even when it's grown up. And I think there might be less of those planted.
Well, it could be. I mean, but I don't know what – does anybody know what a bag of corn is right now?
I don't.
I mean, last year –
the last time I bought some, it's like $12 a bag or something like that.
Okay, because, I think last year it was $8 a bag.
Okay.
Maybe 10, 8 yeah. or 10, somewhere in there. So if it's 12, maybe not. But if it goes up to $15 or $17 a bag
– I'm just wondering – I'm not saying
we'll see less.
Maybe, but I wonder if they will – if you have X number of dollars in the budget and go, well, we can plant all our fields or we can plant half of them and get corn. I mean, the right thing, this is just me talking. I'd rather people plant the fields first.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm looking at 4,000 pounds of fertilizer I got to pay for, you know.
Yeah.
it isn't cheap. All right. So, and the other part of this I was talking about in the process of what we need to do, and I know you've been telling us year after year after year, but maybe there's still some people that have not gotten with the program to do game check. So let's get this early. Not saying that we're not going to have you back on two or three more times before gun season starts for deer, but let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's been, what, 6-7 years now
mm-hmm.
that if you harvest a deer or a turkey, we need those numbers where we can make sure we're doing everything right and the deer herd and turkeys are in good shape, so it takes you about 30 seconds to game check. You can do it on the Outdoor Alabama app. It's the easiest way to do it. And all we ask is just a few simple questions where we can manage better.
So yeah, and it don't take
and
just
it's
a
does
to
too,
do
y'all.
It.
It's remember that too. That was the other thing. Then people, oh yeah, I got my buck, but you got two does too. So just
yes, if it is a deer, a four-legged deer, it needs to be game checked.
Listen, there's some three-legged deer somewhere in the state. Maybe just deer.
Even if it identifies as a doe.
It's still got to be game checked.
Good stuff. And then as we wrap up here, can you give us any update on where we are? I hate to even bring it up, but it's reality. It's CWD. And, you know, you and I talked about in the state now being isolated. Kind of anything changed since last time we talked?
It hasn't. People need to get the latest issue of the Hunting and Fishing Digest. And it's got the CWD zone outlined up in northwest Alabama and Lauderdale and Colbert counties. The only thing that's changed is it is now you cannot bait, you cannot feed in those two counties. So people need to know that. That was one of the decisions we had to make following our CWD response plan is once it came in those counties, in Lauderdale County, then we set up that zone. You cannot feed in that zone. So that's really the biggest change from last year. We still have some mandatory check days. We looked at seasonal statistics. We didn't want everybody mandated to have to check every deer they kill. We're still strongly suggesting that they just cut the head off and put it in one of our drop-off freezers, and we'll have it tested. But there are a couple of weekends that are typically high traffic and high harvest weekends that it is mandatory to come to one of our check stations, and all that can be found online at Outdoor Alabama as well.
Yeah, we'll revisit that too before we get started with archery and gun season. As always, it's a treat to have you on, Chuck, and looking forward to next time.
10-4, thank you.
All right,
thank
there
you,
he is,
Chuck.
Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries for the state of Alabama, Chuck Sykes, and we're out of here. Do it again next week. Y'all have a great weekend.